Hey, it's Tony Schiavone of AAW, and you are listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil J. and that pain in the ass, Choppy.
Your shows, your entertainment, and your network. This is Rant and Rave.
Remember, what this network wants, this network gets. I promise you that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
Broadcasting live from Shaolin, Staten Island.
Freak Show Central.
Where's that?
New York City.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast on Rant EM Radio. Proud member of the Shining Wizards Network and Dark Satellite Media.
Let the sun never blind your eyes. Let me sleep so my teeth won't grind. All right.
Hell yeah.
Lane Stanley, rest in peace.
Yeah, right.
Turnbuckle Throwbacks, episode 426, I believe it is.
426.
Live to tape. We're actually streaming on the Ramp, but I didn't tell anybody, so I'm sure somebody will pick it up, but. Anyway, I'm Phil.
I'm Jay, as I take a sip.
As Jay takes a sip of his cola. Yeah, man, a little early this week. It's just got a... Life is in the way this week.
Yeah, I heard through the grapevine that you were home, so I was like, I gotta call Phil.
Thank you to everybody who reached out to me. I know I put a lot on social media, and I really don't care, but... because I'm pretty transparent. You guys all know that. My dad passed away 20 years ago today. And it basically changed my life, you know. I had just gotten really, really, really close to him as a young adult right after high school. And then, like, for those between, like, 93, 94 to, like, you know, 98, 99, we got really close. Uh-huh. Like, those 5-6 years were, like, amazing. And then he got sick in 97. 2000... He got really sick, and then obviously he passed away today, 20 years ago. Two things we didn't agree with, not disagree. He did not like wrestling. you still watch that? He called me up. What are you doing tonight? And my dad's one of those old timey gangsters, didn't like talking on the phone very much.
Yeah.
So he'd call me, very brief conversations, because he thinks the phones are tapped. He still thinks he was a criminal. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm getting ready for pay-per-view. I was like, pay-per-view? What do you get? A boxing fight? I'm like, no, I'm watching wrestling. He's like, you still watch that shit? I'm like, yeah, I do. And he was a Yankee fan. I was a Mets fan. He didn't dislike the Mets, though. Like, I disliked the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a fan thing, though. But matter of fact, at one point of his life, he was at more Met games than Yankee games.
There you go.
Because his girlfriend at the time was working for Wall Street. And they would do these Coke binges and go to Shea Stadium. They have box seats. So it is what it is. But, so I took a mental health day. Been having a hard time at work. And I'm in between therapy sessions. So, I'm just going to I have the time. I used it.
Yeah.
It was suggested to me that I take some time. So I did.
That's good when, like you said, a supervisor comes up to you and goes, hey, by the way,
you look like shit, and I'm like, if he can't approach me, then he knows I'm upset about something.
I was going to say, right? Yeah. Well, that's the mark of a true friend, you know, if you think about it, like you always, my group of friends is like good with that. Like, you know, we can like shit on each other in the sense of like, yo, asshole, what are you doing? Like, you know. Are you thinking clearly about this or whatever the case may be? You always want somebody to point out when something's wrong or what have you, you know? So at least you had that wake-up call. And like you said, mental health day is always good.
I mean, I feel like I don't keep many friends anymore. Like, I have a lot of acquaintances. Case in point, Aline was in the hospital this past weekend. And no one really knew.
Yeah.
I'm putting it out there now, so I hope he's not mad at me. But Elaine is a very bad asthmatic. He had passed out.
Whoa.
With an asthma attack. Never happened to him before.
Whoa.
It looked like a seizure. But you know, Rob and his roommate caught him in time. They got him to a hospital. He banged his face up pretty good, bloodshot eyes. And Rob was down a block from Bellevue. Instead of going to 911, going to NYU, he went to Bellevue. He doesn't know anything about city hospitals.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was a fucking shocker for them. So I had a, you know, so I was talking Rob through it, and then I actually went up there on Sunday to see him.
Oh, cool.
Right, because like I said, I don't have many friends anymore. I keep, you know, there's only a few people in my life I keep close to me. You know, you and Chops and Rob, Aline. Like Will, of course, mm-hmm. my best friend for 20 years. I keep you guys close because I don't, like I said, when you get older, you know who your friends are.
Yeah.
Like, you know who your true friends are. You know, I can call you in the middle of the night and I know where you're going to be for me, you know, and that kind of thing. And that's why I can't keep acquaintances close to me anymore like that. You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, Elaine's doing much better. I'm glad. So when he hears this, it'll probably be tomorrow or Saturday. So he's resting.
Yeah.
We love you, and I'm glad.
Yeah, like I said, this audible was due to me. It, you know, tomorrow, just there was no time in the day. And like you said, these are good problems to have. Don't get me. I'm not nowhere near complaining, but
right.
You know, you can you know, there's not enough time. There's not enough hours in the day sometimes. So I said, so once I found out he was home, I was like, oh, yo, any way you could do it tonight?
Yeah. And it's funny because Steph called me up. Stephanie likes to cook, and it's only her. And her and Ella. So it's like, she's like, oh, I took a pork loin out. Are you coming for dinner? I'm like, I totally forgot. I'm like, you know what? And I was supposed to put light bulbs in. She's like 5 foot.
Yeah.
So I had to put light bulbs in a bedroom and shit like that. So, you know, so now I'm getting a honey-do list because now she's swapping out, like, clothing and stuff like that, so I'm doing that tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right. She goes, well, if you feel up to it, because I was honestly, dude, I'm like, I don't take this very well.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
you lose a parent. My dad died at 45 years old, and you lose a parent, and it's like the worst feeling in the world because he was like my best friend. You know what I'm saying? We weren't even like, my dad never raised his voice to me. He never yelled at me. He never lectured me. Like, he lectured me like inadvertently, you know?
Yeah.
And I have so many stories. There's one story I'll tell, and then we'll get into the week, and then we'll get into the throwback. I was an honor student in high school, and I fucked up the last 2 years. Uh-huh. I started drinking. I started getting into more girls. I started playing music. I was in a band. I was in two bands at one point, and I slacked. So I wound up my senior year needing one class to graduate. After being a fucking honor student the first 2 years, right?
Uh-huh.
So I got my GPA up, though. I was like a B plus, A minus, which was not bad, but now I have to go to fucking summer school for one class.
Yeah, which...
But my high school still gave me the cap and gown with an empty diploma case, which I didn't go to graduation because I wasn't going to go with an empty diploma case.
Yeah.
Right? And and not only that, they gave me, what do you call it? They gave me my yearbook. Which was like a textbook because I had like 500 graduating students in my class. We had 4,800 kids in our school. So I was all excited. I wanted my dad to sign my yearbook because my dad, even though he was a lifelong criminal and junkie, my dad was also college educated and he was a fucking smart dude, uh-huh. Master carpenter. You know, he was amazing with numbers and math, and he was a history buff and loved football and baseball, right? And thought Patrick Ewing was the ugliest person on the planet. So I go to his apartment where he's staying, right? And it's on a Saturday. I'm like, yo, I'm coming over. I need you to do me a favor. He's like, oh yeah, come on over. And he was all like hype. I'm like, oh crap. Either he's high, and now he does heroin, but sometimes he does, him and his girlfriend do coke.
Yeah.
I'm thinking he's either on coke or he's really, really fucking happy to see me because I couldn't tell because sometimes he was really happy to see me, you know. I get there, and him and his girlfriend and one of his best friends who owns a deli down the block from where he lived, my boy Tony, there's mounds of cocaine on this giant dining room table, like Scarface, right? Around the cocaine is a full, I'm not even exaggerating, it was a full-scale model of a sailboat. Took up the entire fucking, is actually the size of the table at your parents' house that you had that we had the fucking party with.
Yeah.
Those giant tables. Uh-huh. That's how big the fucking dining room table was, right?
Holy shit.
So there's coke everywhere. They're fucking doing this boat. I don't know why. Just cocaine and boat modeling, right? And at this point, I'm like, okay, Dad, I'll come back. I wasn't even like, I was almost mad. I'm like, yo, Pop, I'll come back though. He's like, no. What do you need? You need money? I'm like, no. I said, I just wanted you to sign my yearbook, but I'll come back. It's obvious that you're having a good time right now, and I didn't know you were into model boats. I would have fucking, you know, took you to the local spot. He's like, no, give me the book. I'm like, Dad, please, don't. He's like, no, give me the book. So, and leave it here. I'm not going to do it right away. I have to put thought to it. I'm like, wow, Jesus Christ. I can totally fucking imagine what you're going to do, right? So he's bragging to his friend. I had a centerfold in there. They took a centerfold of me in black and white. You know, so I guess I was popular, but not popular, you know. Everybody knew who I was. But I didn't hang out with the cool kids, though. But that's weird. But the cool kids liked me. Anyway, I digress. So he signed. I was working in a movie theater at the time, so on 61st and 1st Avenue in City. So I did a work shift. I came back to see him 2 days later. He gives me the book, and he writes this 2-page, elegant, like, memoir, basically, telling me how much I meant to him, and how being a carpenter's greatest creation was me, and you know, he's sorry for all he did and fucked up. He wasn't in my childhood. And then he wanted me to go to college. I never went to college. I tried college for like 2 weeks. I didn't like it. So I kind of felt like I disappointed him every time. But, you know, when I started my career, he was happy for me. But I knew he wanted me to go to school. He said, I don't want you to work hard. And I wound up working hard anyway because that's what I want to do. And the blue collar life was my life, you know. And I got that work ethic from him. But he was so fucking awesome. So when I lost him, it blew my mind, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad I'm doing this today. I keep my fucking head, you know.
Yeah.
Keep my head busy. You know, people's like, you know, it gets better with time. It really doesn't, man. It really doesn't. You know, like, he's dead 20 years. My buddy Tank is dead 6 years. It's like, you know, these things don't go away. You know, like, you lose people that are close to you, and it's mind-blowing, you know. Because you take advantage of them being there all the fucking time, you know. So, with that being said, so, Pop, this one's for you. And this one's for everybody who's having a hard time right now. Seasons changing, the weather's changing, we're having a good time. We got some cool fucking shit for you coming up. And it's fucking Jay's birthday next week.
Yeah, next week.
We're gonna fucking celebrate his birthday. Little fucking birthday gimmick. I hope you picked a good throwback.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's gonna be terrible.
That is, yeah. Okay.
It's almost what I'm gonna say, like, it's gonna be it, but like tonight's throwback was so bad it was good.
Yeah, but that makes sense.
But what I'm going to be, it's going to be so bad, it's going to be horrible. It's going to make even Choppy, you know, fucking love it.
Choppy messaged me before. He was pissed off that he lost, like, he was trying to buy something on eBay or something, like this fucking figure from the 80s. I'm like, I never even had that figure either. I wanted. Now we're, like, talking about the fucking figures and what we wanted. But, yeah, no, that's, it's cringe. I like cringeworthy because it brings out the, I think it brings out the best in you.
Hell yeah!
When it comes to doing this shit, because it makes you work a little harder. If it's a hard watch, I think you excel.
Yeah.
Because it's like, this was fucking terrible, and you forced me to watch this for 2.5 hours.
So it's gonna be something like that. But I didn't have that with this week's throwback. I actually, it was. Refreshing. I haven't watched it. Almost like, I mean, I was watching it on my phone mostly, but it almost brought me back to watching it on VHS. Like that, it was a little grainy on the site we were watching it. I don't know if it was on the network. I meant to check. I know they have a bunch of oddball shit.
This was right after their first pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And it was leading up to another pay-per-view, which was Heat Wave or Hardcore Heaven.
Hardcore Heaven, maybe.
Right. So, but before even all...
Yeah.
So before we even get into today's pay-per-view, there was another pay-per-view this morning, which hence why Jay was in the group text.
Yeah.
I was trying to explain this to Steph, that we have a group text on Facebook, the Messenger, right? Jay's not always on it.
No.
So ironically, Jay's on it. So that's why he caught that I was home today, which is awesome. So
Well, I figured out how to do notifications, like where it doesn't ding.
Keep you, yeah, okay.
But I can see it. I forget what it's called.
And Messenger's a separate app.
Yeah.
So you don't have to be on Facebook to have Messenger.
Well, it's funny because I was like, oh, shit, I can keep this as a group chat. So yeah, I was like, oh, this, yeah, it's even better. I mean, we, you know, and because like all group chats I have, I silence them all. Because
yeah, yeah, no, we try to include you in just the wrestling stuff because, yeah. I mean, Rob and I have our own chat.
Yeah, Elaine, yeah, yeah.
But I have like 17,000 chats on Messenger.
Yeah.
But that chat is like for us, for the crew. You know, yeah. It's like and I know you don't come out with us very often.
And
but.
And you know, Rob was hitting up about the
G1 finals were this morning. And
yeah.
After 6 years, my boy Baza, I don't know what happened. Maybe he didn't pay his bill or something. But Baza was giving me his password for New Japan Pro World for like the last fucking 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to. Now, when Rob's like, G1, oh, my God, and I didn't open up Facebook at all or anything, so I jumped up automatically. I'm physically, mentally drained at this point because the last couple of days, so I just wanted to sleep, but now I'm like, oh, my God. So I wound up ordering fucking New Japan World. It's $8 a month, you know, $8 something a month, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I ordered it, and I watched it, and now I told Rob, spoiler alert, by the way, I told Rob that Ibushi was making the finals. Right, because he's like, you know, he has to redeem himself.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Cobb was undefeated.
Wow,
and he beat Jeff Cobb by
Okada. Yeah.
Right, and then Okada gets in with one blemish, which was the Tama Tonga.
Ah,
so Okada, this sets up Okada and Ibushi. So I didn't know Okada was in it. Because I haven't looked on the internet. I haven't followed the tournament. I was going to wait this weekend and just binge it. Because I have some free time on Saturday. I have a lot of free time on Saturday, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to binge it. Well, that didn't happen. Because when Rob posted, oh my God, without spoiling it, I just automatically knew that he was talking about fucking Okada and Ibushi, right? So the finals happened this morning. And I must tell you, I mean, if you want to watch it, but it's on the internet too. If you don't want my password to New Japan World, you should have it anyway because it's fucking dope.
Yeah, maybe.
So the match was great, and then Ibushi breaks his arm on a moonsault type of thing, and then it was like,
whoa,
he breaks his arm, and they stop the match, and Okada wasn't supposed to win. If you look at his face, and Rob even said it too, look at his face, he wasn't supposed to win.
Uh-huh.
So anybody who doesn't know, the winner of the G1 gets a title shot at Wrestle Kingdom, which is the WrestleMania of New Japan, January 4th of next year, right? So, you know, with this, you know, there's a Halliburton and briefcase, and you get a trophy and fucking flowers and the whole gimmick, and you get free Zima.
There you go.
In the press conference, right? So if you look at his face, dude, he was not supposed to win, okay? But Ibushi cannot get out of his own way. This poor dude, pneumonia.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Fucking, he injured his knee, his arm, and he's hurt all the fuck. Here, you know what Kota Ibushi is, and I realize this? He's the Ken Griffey Jr. of pro wrestling.
Yeah.
He'll get into the Hall of Fame. He'll get the accolades like Griffey did. But it's going to take a little while because Griffey was hurt a while. And if Griffey wasn't hurt, he would have broke all the fucking records. He would have broke the home run record.
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt. He wasn't on juice. He was probably one of the most pure hitters in baseball. And Kota Ibushi is one of the most purest wrestlers on the planet at this point in his game, right? So now this sets up Shingo and now Okada for the title, which I'm not mad at. I mean, I love Okada. Okada's one of my favorites. You know, next to Adam Cole, Okada's been one of my favorite wrestlers for the last couple of years. You know, you guys all know that. So I'm a big Rainmaker guy. But Okada's been on a low. He's been losing matches. He has been in profile matches. He has been in profile title fights. He's been on the low. So now I tell Rob, does this now, if he's okay by Wrestle Kingdom, do you put him as a third? On a three-way, or do you give him a title? You give him the automatic rematch because, like, the Wrestle Kingdom was 3 days this year. Do you give him the rematch? You know what I'm saying?
I think, yeah. I was just gonna say, like, you kind of have to. I mean, this was a big thing, I think, for especially for Okada, who's kind of, I don't want to say dormant. He wasn't dormant, but
he was kind of dormant, though.
Yeah, like kinda, before the G1. This is like his like breakout.
Yeah, he won like fucking four of these things or something like that, right? So now he has, now he go, he wins, very humble though, like, you know, and was a legit concern for Ibushi. So now he's in the back with Chaos. They're all cracking Zimas, right? Tama Tonga comes out and says, congratulations, you win, but you have one blemish, and that blemish is me. So I deserve a fucking title shot.
How about that storyline?
So now we're, now Tama Tonga probably wants to fight for that briefcase, you know? So a lot of interesting things now in New Japan Pro Wrestling. You got the Super Juniors coming up. The World Tag League is coming up. And then all of a sudden, by the time you blink, it's fucking it's Wrestle Kingdom in January, which I've been taking off from work now yearly to watch because I don't want to go to work at 5 o'clock in the morning and miss this, right? Because I watch it live. It was, the match was fantastic. It is up on the internet, spoiler alert, but it was fucking, it was dope, and I'm excited for Shingo and Okada. You know, I think Okada's got something to prove now. Like Jay said, he was dormant, and it's going to be a thing where it's either he comes back hard with the title, or he's a transitional champion.
Yeah,
where he'll win the title, or he'll lose the match to Shingo, and Kota Ibushi wins the title, gets title back. So we'll see what happens, you know. But you need to watch, the match is really good.
Yeah, I definitely want to check that out. And more, like I said, even the other pay per view that was today, which you gave a glowing review.
Yes, I told the boys I was going to watch Crown Jewel because I really didn't want to get off my couch today.
I think you said, I'm paraphrasing, you're going to torture yourself.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I was going to torture myself and watch Crown Jewel because I was home and it was on. And Double A posted the thread for he posts a thread for the big pay per views on social media, on Facebook. So I wrote, great, the Usos, I hate champions fighting on the pre show. I hate title matches, but it was a non title. The Usos fought who'd they fuck?
The Hurt Business.
But anyway, we'll go over the results right now. But I enjoyed it thoroughly. Couple things I didn't like, and I'll get into that in a second. I tell you what though, I felt bad for the women. I guess I'll get into it when we get into it. All right, so the pre-show was the Usos versus the Hurt Business. You know, it was good. They were getting beat. Jimmy gets the hot tag. Cedric works up against Cedric Alexander, who's, by the way, awesome. I love Cedric.
I'm so glad they put him back together.
Yeah.
They needed to.
And Cedric, I remember him from Ring of Honor. Me and Hammer loved him. So after a little burst of offense, Shelton Benjamin and Alexander get the upper hand again. Little interference from Jay keeps the match alive. The Usos make a quick comeback. And then Jay scores the win with an Uso splash to Alexander. So, the Usos became babyfaces by default, and I'll tell you why.
Really?
The fucking crowd was hot, Jay. I was so impressed with the Saudi crowd. Like, they knew who their wrestlers were. They chanted. They fucking had signs. This wasn't like, oh my God, what are these people doing here? What are these Americans doing here?
They're sitting quiet.
It wasn't like in Korea, you know?
Yeah.
So it was, they were rooting for the Usos. Crazy. So, and then, of course, it opens with the Hell in a Cell with Edge and Seth Rollins. This was a good story, man.
Mm-hmm.
This was a really, really good story.
I love the promos. I actually watched the promos on YouTube.
Yeah. You know, you have Edge and Seth Rollins fight Hell in a Cell. I mean, it took a few minutes for the cage to lower. So, like Jay said, they played all the promos and stuff like that. The match was really, really good. Edge wins, you know, he does
I kind of like that little gimmick thing, but now, like, at some point, like, if you're WWE or a chair manufacturer, you notice that there's a glitch or there's like a defect in your chairs. Why would you make that little piece come off so easily?
That's probably gimmicked.
Oh, it's definitely gimmicked, but I'm just, you know, I'm just ribbing on the square.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I was like, what the fuck, man? You know, you didn't know it was a gimmick?
It's definitely. Wait, wrestling's fake?
No. No.
Wait, wrestling's scripted?
Don't break the kayfabe, man. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? But it was good, man, and it finishes the feud. What's next for Edge? I don't know. Seth Rollins has the world at his feet. He has a great gimmick. He can, you know, Seth can work. He always worked his ass off. Mm-hmm. Another good wrestler that they finally invested more time in. And Edge is making this second comeback from his career, and you know what's next for him.
Like you said, this is something where. You know, you got these matches, but although I think you just moved Finn Balor, right? Finn Balor's on Raw now, I believe.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and then Mustafa Ali versus Mansoor. I mean, so Mansoor wins, obviously. We knew he was going to win.
I'm glad to see Mustafa Ali out in... Like, this dude is really, really talented. You know, there's a finite amount of spots available, per se.
Yeah, so he gets the win, and then Ali attacks Mansoor after the match, and then this masked man comes out in the garb, the Arabic garb with the headgear and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turns out it was Tareg Hamidi, he was the Olympic silver medalist for karate,
yeah,
who's from Saudi Arabia, and legitimately kicked Ali in the head and knocked him out. So that was fun. I didn't know who he was, so I didn't watch the Olympics. I don't follow martial arts. Eric Martin though was posting about that guy. He's a big martial arts guy. He actually practices too, I think.
Oh shit!
So the crowd though loved it. The crowd shit up, man. At this point, I took a shower. I was just needed to get up off the couch. I was just miserable, and while I was in the shower, I had the door open. I was shaving my head, and I was watching RK-Bro defend the tag titles against AJ and Edward James Olmos.
That's a perfect time to go during this match.
Yeah. The match wasn't terrible. The champs did win. They got to do something with AJ Styles because Olmos is fucking terrible.
Olmos weighing him down.
Yeah.
Olmos is almost weighing him down.
He's almost taking AJ's career from him inadvertently. Yeah. I'm sure AJ's happy with the workload because he doesn't have to work hard all the time because he's in a tag team. But still, you get you're a little old in the, not old in the tooth, but you're getting to that point where in your career where you have to make some moves.
Yeah,
you know. But it was good. I enjoyed that. You know, and I like RK Bro until Randy does one of his bipolar turns.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Although I wouldn't mind seeing a little Riddle. I don't know how.
A Riddle turn, you mean?
Yeah, a little
Riddle
turn.
I'm not mad at that. He's such a good talent.
How do you get him to be a heel is the question, but I wouldn't mind seeing it. That's different. That would be a little different to me. A little swervy.
Yeah. Your next match was with the Queen of the Ring. Queen's his own, Zelina Vega. She's from Queens. I didn't know that until today. Against Doudrop, who's my all the way alive, who just got married.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's thick. I like that. But Zelina Vega did win with the code red, by the way.
Ain't that something?
Hit the code red on the big girl. So Mrs. Aleister Black is the new queen of WWE, Queen Zelina, Queen Vega. All right. Then it was Bobby Lashley versus Goldberg, probably the worst match of the card. Mm-hmm. And I anticipated it being bad because Goldberg is in it, and I don't like Bobby Lashley because he was also in it.
Yes.
But the story was good. You know, Bobby Lashley attacked Goldberg's kid. Goldberg limped the entire match. Either he had a bad hip or a bad knee.
Well, I believe he got injured training, I think, again.
Again, he's pushing 60, and he hardly worked that bad. He hardly worked when he was in his prime.
Yeah.
He knows several moves and that's it. He's not very good. He's an attraction, which is great. The Saudis love him. So he made a ton of money today.
I'd shudder to think how much he made.
Yeah. And he actually didn't do his typical. He had Bobby Lashley beat, but he decided to bring him out and, you know, just beat him. Like, took him outside the ring, mm-hmm. tried to hit him with stairs, like, you know. But he did win the match. The Hurt Business tried to come out and interfere. That backfired. Goldberg took them out. And then Goldberg used the kendo stick that they brought out on Bobby Lashley. It was no holds barred. So it was like, you know, it was, you know, he speared Lashley through a bunch of, off the stage, through some tables.
Hey,
no. So right. he did a little more than he's supposed to be doing, which was impressive. But again, I should have took a shower with this match instead of the fucking RK-Bro and Bobby Lashley. It was actually one of Goldberg's better matches.
I was going to say, in recent years.
Correct.
Yeah, because I like correct. I said, you bring these guys in, and I'm going to ask you with the, you know, with the main event as well. These part timers, you know, it's all right, yeah, come on in, you know, have a match, but like, it's got to be quicker than 3 minutes. Got to be quicker than 5 minutes.
Right, and you know my deal. If you're going to bring a part timer in, tell the good story, and they did. They told a good story, you know, so. You know, it is what it is. My phone is, like, going off like crazy because I forgot to put the Wi-Fi on. And now all these messages are popping up.
Hey.
Just hockey shit because I have it set to where my team goes. It goes off into whatever. Anyway, your next match is for the King of the Ring. Finn Balor versus Xavier Woods. Hell of a match.
Good.
I was disappointed. I wanted the Prince to become the King.
Yeah, but you know what? But very fitting.
Very fitting. And I was having a hard time. Even Hammer posted on fucking Twitter how happy he was for
it's very fitting that he wins. And I that's one thing I did see on the websites is even the rest of the world just everywhere, across everywhere.
Yeah.
Everybody's so happy for him. Probably couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Yeah, Woods sure. avoided the coup de grace, and then he hit the trademark flying elbow for the win. He's your new king, so. It was the 22nd King of the Ring.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah.
Put that into perspective for a little bit, huh?
And it's the first time it felt important for me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, King of the Ring was a big deal when I was a kid. If you were King of the Ring, you up until 1996, if you were King of the Ring, that means you were the next guy. Or 98, I should say, because Triple H, Billy Gunn, all these guys won King of the Ring, Steve Austin, Bret Hart, all these guys that won Owen Hart,
yeah.
all these guys that won King of the Ring substantially got pushes. Yokozuna, I believe, was king. Mabel was king. Rest in peace. But they got pushes, right? Haku was king.
That's right, King Haku. I forgot about that.
Jim Duggan was king, but keep Jim Duggan in your prayers. He had emergency surgery yesterday. Yeah. His wife posted on Twitter, so he's on the bend. He's on the mend, as Jake the Snake Roberts said in his social media post about Jim. This is the time where all your old guys are in not in good health, and they're older now, and
yeah.
they beat their bodies up for 35, 40 years, and now that you know poor guys are suffering for it, you know.
Yeah.
But keep Hacksaw Jim Duggan in your thoughts. Shaylin actually posted the post of Jim Duggan in the hospital yesterday. His wife went on his social media and posted all the shit. So your next match is for the WWE Championship, Big E against Drew McIntyre. The match was fantastic.
There we go.
Match is fantastic. I'm not a big McIntyre guy. You guys all know that, but he worked his ass off. Big E deserves every single thing he's doing right now. He's on firing on all cylinders. He's my favorite champion in WWE in the last couple of years,
mm-hmm.
and he's got everything. And I've been saying this since the New Day won. Like when the New Day beat that tag team record when they beat Demolition for the longest tag team reign. At that point, I was telling Choppy on the show, I was like, this motherfucker should turn on these guys and become a beast. He didn't turn, but he's breaking away a little bit from the nonsense. And then when Kofi got his fucking break a couple of years ago, I'm like, Jesus, can they do something with Big E? Like, he's there. He's everything. He's big. He's athletic. He's got charisma. He can actually cut a promo. And he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
He's an introvert. He's a nice guy. Like, he's a nice dude. Apparently in real life. And then, of course, now Woods gets a fucking push as King of the Ring. So, Big E, I'm so happy he's getting his accolades, man. I really am.
It's due time, and he's next. And you know, the story goes that he's always wanted. I think he's been pestering the powers that be at in the E for to bring back the King of the Ring, and he wants it. He's always been a big champion of it. So, you know, at least for that nature in and of itself, for him to do that is great. But it's, yeah, like you said, Kofi had his time 2-3 years ago, and it was a great run. Big E's now. I want Big E to go all the way to WrestleMania with it. I mean, if not further.
I'm not mad at that, man.
Xavier Woods, it's great time for him to get it right now.
If they do this right, I am so excited for Survivor Series this year. Because yes, now you have the brand switch, the draft happened, guys, big names going different places now, and it's in Brooklyn this year. Like, let's fucking do it, man.
Yeah, I'd love to go. I really got to make some shit.
We could just get together, man. We should get together.
Yeah, even if
night.
We just watch it here.
Just get together, whatever. We'll have it somewhere if it's not here, you know? We'll do it somewhere. We'll get some fucking wings, and we'll get some pizza, and we'll call it a day.
Yeah.
But I'm not mad at that at all. I'm always excited for Survivor Series. It's the Survivor Series.
Yes.
Every Thanksgiving, no matter where I am, I'll wind up playing the first two of them. Mm-hmm. Either I played them when I had the DVD, I have on DVD, or now that I have the network for the last couple of years. But I stream that shit in the morning when I wake up. I have the parade. Got my laptop. I love the parade. I love Thanksgiving. It's my favorite holiday. So I get football, I get wrestling, I get fucking Santa Claus in the parade. I'm like, I'm good, man. But I'm just excited now. I'm hoping they don't fuck this up. Mm-hmm. I really do. Sadly, I didn't watch any of the wrestling this week at all. I didn't watch NXT. I didn't watch AEW.
Yeah, well, AEW was on Saturday night, obviously.
Yeah, that I heard.
The biggest thing I took from it was I seen Paige Van Zandt have a selfie with I think it's Paige. Yeah, Paige Van Zandt had a selfie with Chris Jericho. I think they signed Daniel Garcia. But who's her husband? Her husband's the MMA guy. I was just going to say Daniel Garcia, but it's not that.
Junior Dos Santos?
I think it's Junior Dos Santos. Maybe it's that. Hold on.
My cousin, they were in Miami, right, Saturday?
Yes.
My cousin Richie was ringside. He got upgraded by Dan Lambert.
Get out.
I don't know where he was, but Richie said he was there, and Richie sent me a message. He goes, yo, Dan Lambert just upgraded me. I'm like, what? He asked me where I was sitting. I showed him, and he gave me a better ticket. So the first 30 seconds I watched the first 30 seconds of AEW on Saturday night,
yeah,
and my cousin Richie was ringside. So,
oh, shit.
So, yeah, Richie had a great time. He's still talking about it, too. And so,
yeah, it was maybe Sammy Guevara. Maybe I thought it was Jericho.
Okay.
But Paige Van Zandt, I seen that photo. I was like, oh, shit. So it made me look into it. But, yeah, same here. Saturday night's a hard night.
It is, man.
The story of the week, though, is continuation now of Tony Khan.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, inserting his foot in his mouth.
He said more shit, right?
He's going back and forth now with Bischoff. Like, he's wrongfully, completely wrongfully comparing himself to Bischoff. Like, once again, like you said.
Did you hear what Bischoff said, though?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He went in.
Yeah.
And supposedly, he's going in more on Monday.
And he worked for them last year.
Yeah.
For like two episodes.
Well, like you said, I mean, because it's constructive criticism. I mean, if you can't, you know, take it. Once again, it's like we were talking about in pre-production. Like, there's no reason why you can't have, like, just a meaningful conversation with anybody. I know it's always like the joke I always say. Like, we just got to have a conversation. But it's kind of true, you know, and
That's why it is a joke. It's almost like an inside joke. When you say we're about to have a conversation, generally means we're going to have a conversation. But the way he presents it is as such. That's why everybody likes the way.
I like I said, I'm maybe I'm a contrarian by nature, but like you know, at the end of the day, here's the funny thing about this. Tony Khan, especially, you put yourself out there last week and, you know, didn't get the job done. Like, their numbers, right, as far as I know, their numbers weren't higher in that head-to-head, the half hour, and it was an extra half hour. Their numbers weren't that much better. And SmackDown was on Fox Sports, Sports 1, Fox Sports Net, whatever the fuck it was on, FS1.
Yeah.
You know, they would push back because of the baseball playoffs.
Right.
And, you know, so, yeah, you talked a lot of shit. All of a sudden, it's time for you to eat some fucking humble pie a little bit. And, you know, you didn't like the way it tastes. You put yourself out there. Now you're proven. Once again, I don't think that this is a work. Who knows? I mean, there's no better way to use, you know, to use Twitter, you know, for the purpose of the product than to do this. Like, it is pro wrestling we're talking about. You know, so there's a chance that this is a work. you always gotta have that in the back of your head. But I don't think so. I think, you know.
Yeah, it's not a work. It's definitely not a work. I'm convinced now of it after what happened this past couple, last couple of days. And, I mean, there's not much more to say, but just to remind this dude, just fucking stay in his lane. Shut up.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason for it. There's no reason for any of this. Like, you're putting yourself in a position where you don't have to be. You already have the attention. You have the fans' attention. You have them going to the shows. You have them buying the merch. You have the numbers moving on the ratings. Like, you have all these things now going for
and,
you.
And actually, I just looked it up. I stand corrected. Actually, it's, and by the way, I hate this fucking term, but in the key demo, the 18 to 49.
I love how Jay has a computer in front of him.
Yeah.
But yeah, he still uses his phone to look shit up.
Yeah. Well, it's just easy. It's just comforting.
This fucking guy.
And yeah, so it wasn't by much. It was a 0.34 to 0.32. But it's like in the key demo, you know what I mean? It's like me saying, it's like, well, I'm the funniest guy that my stepdaughter knows. Like, so it's true. You know what I mean? Like, it's that idea of, yeah, you're folding, you're kind of morphing it to fit your argument a little bit. Nonetheless, it doesn't take away from the fact of how much fucking shit talk Tony Khan was doing. Okay, in that sense, I stand corrected. He did back it up a little bit, you know. But still, if you can't take any kind of criticism or constructive criticism, or if you feel it's pot shots or whatever, but nonetheless, you know, you're wrongfully comparing yourself. He was saying on how he goes, well, Bischoff came down on a motorcycle, you know, in 97, I think it was, for Slamboree. Remember when he challenged Vince McMahon?
Yeah.
And Bischoff has gone on record and said that Hogan, Nash, and maybe somebody else told Bischoff, yo, you better slow your roll because Vince McMahon will come here and kick your ass.
Yeah.
And Bischoff said, he goes, I was fully prepared to get my ass kicked.
Right, you know, you're talking about a at that point a millionaire fucking wrestling promoter who had the hottest company in the world. A, still does, and B, has been a gym rat for the last 35 years.
Yeah.
At 72 years old, he's still in the fucking gym, clanging and banging, as they say.
Yeah, but like it's funny, you know, and I think that's where Bischoff is coming from, of that idea of going, you don't know what you don't know, you can awaken this monster. And Tony Khan's right. Competition is going to fuel really good creativity.
But there is no competition.
There's still no competition, though. At least here, like, just like you said, stay on one side, you stay on the other side.
Stay in your fucking lane, dog.
Yeah.
Stay in your fucking lane.
Nonetheless, though, it's still, SmackDown's getting good. I'm excited. Once you gave me the glowing review of, you know,
Crown Jewel.
Crown Jewel. Couldn't think of it. Thank you. I was like, ah, shit, I'm going to watch it this weekend. I'm actually going to have some time this weekend. So
yeah, definitely watch it. I want your opinion. I want you to text me after you watch it. But yeah, I'm excited now for, once you see Crown Jewel, I guarantee you'll be excited for Survivor Series.
Yeah, it's that time of season now.
I'm always optimistic about pro wrestling, and I get excited when the season changes because it's always something to look forward to, right?
Yep.
But this is my season, man. This is autumn, fall. This is fucking hockey, basketball, baseball playoffs, World Series, and Survivor Series.
Yes.
And Thanksgiving. Turkey. The year can end at the Friday after Thanksgiving. I wouldn't care. I wouldn't even care about Christmas. But that's, I really shouldn't say that because I like Christmas too. But anyway, I digress.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? Because one more thing. I have one more thing. You have anything else?
No, that's it.
Can we? Jim Cornette called Minoru Suzuki shit.
I didn't catch that.
He said his work is shit. And I was like, because he watched the match with Danielson, and he said he's shit. He respects his mixed martial arts history. He respects the guy himself, but he thought his work was shit. I said, what the fuck? I watched the match. I finally watched the match.
I have, yeah.
Jay, it was match of the year.
Yeah.
It was match of the year. I was beyond stoked. Rob kept telling me, I was in the hospital, we were visiting Lane. He's like, you watch the match yet? I'm like, no. He was, what are you fucking waiting for? I'm like, I'll do when I get home. And I watched it, and then when I watched it, I posted.
Well, I think he just got announced for Bloodsport.
Yeah.
Suzuki against Dickinson.
Yeah.
Who like cares? The Suzuki tour, he has to at some point. Please show up on WWE TV.
Yeah, yeah.
Just do it. Don't even tell him. Walk out.
Sit ringside. Come unannounced.
Yeah, yeah. Walk out.
Do like an ECW invasion.
Yeah, you know Nakamura is going to sell for you. You know, as soon as he sees you walk in, he's going to sell. You know, so fucking do it. Just walk out or sit in the front row.
I'm not mad at that partner. I'm not mad at that at all.
Gotta get on there.
Jim Cornette, I don't know what the fuck you're smoking.
No, you don't know, man. Listen, fucking Suzuki will go to Kentucky or wherever the fuck he's at. He'll go there. Castle Cornette. He'll shake that. He'll huff and puff and blow that place down. It's fucking Suzuki.
Did you see what Suzuki did to Chris Dickinson? Did I mention it last week?
What?
So he fought Joey Janela?
Yes.
Did I say that? Okay, I did mention he told him to fuck himself. Yeah. I don't speak English, but fuck you. I'm like, that's good. Listen, that dude is all man.
Oh, yeah.
He's all man. And at 50 fucking something years old, he's still banging people out.
It's Cornette, I'm telling you.
Danielson, let me tell you something, man. I always liked Bryan Danielson. Always did. Even Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, I don't give a shit. I always liked him. He came correct.
Uh-huh.
Because I think him and Suzuki, that I mentioned, they fought already. They had fought like in 2004 or 5 or something like that. But now you're like, dude.
Was it 0-1? Was it 0-1? Or
I don't even know. Maybe 0-1, maybe Ring of Honor. I'm not sure. Guys, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm always wrong because I don't look it up. I should look it up before, but I'm just doing this on the spur of the moment. But you got to, like, how do you not like that, man? That was fantastic. Jay, you have to watch this match. It was so good. You have homework this weekend, bro.
I got homework. Well, I finally got time. That's the
You got some homework. Yeah, I know, dude. I wish you had more time to fuck around. So anything else before we go to break?
Nah, that's it.
All right, let's take a quick break.
Yeah, we got a real fucking...
We got a real bond burner for you.
Yeah, I can't wait.
It's Phil, it's Jay, it's Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We're live on the rant to tape.
Sneaky rant.
And, of course, we're always proud members of the Shining Wizards Network. 10-year anniversary coming up in a couple weeks. And Dark Satellite Media, Jimmy.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Are you tired of being uninformed? Together, we can change all of that. Experience a podcast like you've never heard before. You'll gain knowledge, have some laughs, because we believe this is the last AEW podcast you'll ever need. Join us every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. on rantemradio.com and Facebook Live. We can also be found on all major podcast forums as part of the Shining Wizards Network. So stop listening to inferior AEW podcasts and bring a new podcast into your life by joining us.
Join the Mark Order Podcast.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Mark Order Pod and on Facebook.com/Mark Order Pod. Don't forget to tag us on social media and use hashtag JoinTheMarkOrder, because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
Everyone knows a lot of things can change in the span of 10 years. When it comes to professional wrestling podcasting, one thing is still guaranteed. The Shining Wizards is the only place to get all the latest wrestling news, interviews with the greatest guests, and of course, tons of laughs in discussing the world of wrestling. The show is still available on Monday nights at 7 p.m. East on RantEMRadio.com and Rant Entertainment Media on the TuneIn app. And it's still available on all podcasting platforms. To check us out, head over to ShiningWizards.com, where it's still wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Are you tired of being told what to think and believe by Hollywood elites and politicians who just don't care about you?
Tired of not getting the truth when you watch the news?
Tired of trying to figure out what pronoun to use?
Tired of mob mentality when all you want to do is think for yourself and make up your own mind?
That's where we come in. This is Justin.
And Vince.
Your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown.
We are a weekly anti-PC podcast bringing you entertainment and current event news without any spin.
If you want to truly stay informed on what's going on in the world, then give us a listen every Sunday, anywhere you get podcasts, at least till Zuckerberg and Twitter Jack deplatform us.
And as always, we're proud members of the Shining Wizards Network.
Tired of the PC police telling you what you can and cannot say? Want a show that travels back to the 80s and 90s, where the badass hosts have beaten down cancel culture on three separate occasions and carried on to gloat about it? Since 2013, The Midnight Jury is that show. Travel back to the malls and arcades, pop in your VHS, and join us where the 80s and 90s return from the dead. Conan, tell them where to find us.
WLWstudios.com, home of the Midnight Jury podcast, hosted by Midnight Mike and Calvin Brody.
Also available on all major podcast platforms via the Shining Wizards Network, and join in the conversation on Twitter at Midnight Jury.
This is the new F and Joe, Jerry Lynn, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil, Jay, and that pain in the ass choppy.
Blood and Guts 2021 tour continues on Turnbuckle Throwbacks. You know, we used to have Black History Month when Mega Power was on the show.
Uh-huh.
Now every October we're going to do Blood and Guts.
Blood and Guts.
We're still going to recognize black athletes, though, on in February, but not every week.
Yeah.
But anyway, August 9th, 1997, from the corner of Swanson and Rittner in beautiful South Philadelphia, 1400 paid. It's ECW's Born to Be Wired.
Yes.
Man, I had it written down, and I sent Jay a link for something else. I'm like, yeah, we'll do that. Jay's like, no, we're doing Born to Be Wired. I'm like, fuck, I forgot.
This was the one, like you said, going into Hardcore Heaven.
Yes.
This was that.
Yeah. Joey Styles on the stick, as always. As usual, fucking fantastic. If you've never been to an ECW, old ECW card, you missed out. It was life.
Yeah.
Everybody knows my story. I was going there from like 95 to like 99 every 3 months, 4 months, whatever it was. I did not go to this card though.
Mm-hmm.
It was around my birthday that year, but I was it was 97, and my old man was I just lost my dog, and my dad just got diagnosed with HIV. So I was like, I was really bummed out, but I was still following. I was working two jobs. I was mm-hmm. fucking, I was insane. But nothing compares to old ECW. Nothing.
Yeah.
And like Jay said in pre-production, I think you said on the show, right? Even the bad shit was
good. There was a few things that were just bad, but it's looking back with rosy colored glasses because it was so bad, it was so good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially like you said, you know, it's something to do with the dingy lighting, and the crowd was just fucking on
the
fire.
Crowd is always on fire, Jay. Philadelphia has probably the best one of the best sets of wrestling fans on the planet.
Yeah, you just when their team wins, you just gotta fucking grease down the fucking traffic lights and you know, this way then they don't climb up the fucking
chooches. Yeah. Don't get me started. Great food, great city, terrible fucking sports fans. Terrible. Dude, they had a jail in the bottom of the vet for Eagle games.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, you think?
That's awesome.
Your opening contest, Little Guido Manataro, Queens' own, from the FBI, escorted by Tommy Rich and the Big Don, Tommy Rich, and Tracy fucking Smothers, rest in peace, versus Pablo Marquez. You guys know him better as El Puerto Riqueño.
That's what I was looking at him, and I was like,
right, but he was from Ecuador, and they called him the Puerto Rican.
Ugh.
It's almost like your racist cousin, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, Pablo, his name is John. Yeah, come here. Right? Yeah.
Come here, Juan.
Come here, Juan. Juan.
But this was, first off, with the introductions, I forget that ring announcer's name, but he always did those classic introductions by them, and the crowd was just on top of FBI. Tracy Smothers and all his, he still didn't have the full dancing gimmick, but he was tapping into it. He was getting in there. And there's nothing better than the Don, the Big Don, Tommy Rich.
Somebody say something about Philly.
Somebody say something about Philadelphia. You mean Stephen DeAngelis was doing...
Stephen DeAngelis. That was his name.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And then Tommy Rich gets on the mic, and they're just fucking chanting at him, "You fat fuck."
Yeah. Tracy's mother's dancing with the "you fat fuck" chant.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's fantastic.
It's amazing stuff. And like you said, instantly right there, instant smile. Like, and and you just know you're in for a good show. And
it's always a good show.
Great opening match. Great fucking Little Guido. Just, this was, like you said, you know, at this point, you know, the luchadors have come through.
Howard Beach's own, baby. Nunzio. Yeah. You guys know him better as Nunzio.
ECW, you know, had the luchadors come in. Rey Mysterio, Juventud, Psicosis. WCW steals them.
The Sicilian Shooter, the Extreme Stud.
But this was the start, and especially later on, I think later on this year, Super Crazy comes through, and definitely the following year, you got Yoshihiro Tajiri. Just these guys were opening. This is the definition of an opening match, and this was pretty good. Little Guido just carrying this match. It's great, crisp, you know, moveset.
Yeah. He's been 30 years. He did everything in the business, bro. He was a trainer. Yeah. He was a referee. He's from Howard Beach. He's a Queens guy. So I never got mad at Guido. I like Guido a lot. He's a really nice guy in real life. If you see him at a card show or a convention event, yeah, he's awesome. One of the nicest guys ever. Always quick with a smile. Always hi, how are you? Always good with the fans. Even as a heel, you know. So he beats Pablo Marquez at 6 minutes and 5 seconds.
Yeah. So. And did you notice the referee, Judge Jeff Jones?
Jeff Jones, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
I was laughing. I was like, oh, shit, there he is.
Anybody who knows me knows my admiration for Mikey Whipwreck.
Mm-hmm.
Mikey, another guy who, to this day, he's training. He has training school. Yeah. Mikey Whipwreck was the underdog. He was the first Triple Crown ECW winner. He was a guy who set the ring up, and he used to run the ropes, and they would never let him fucking work. Till one day they let him work, and when he did work, he never even got an offensive move in, and he worked his way up, and they gave him the "woe is me" story, and he fucking ran with it, and then at that point he was one of the most popular wrestlers on the planet.
Yeah.
Because of that. I remember him teaming up with Public Enemy. He was cutting promos like, "You're going to get me fucking killed," he told him.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool. No, I enjoyed that a lot. He fights the late, great Louis Spicoli. You know him as Madonna's boyfriend from AAA.
Yeah.
Yeah. Louis Piccoli, probably as coined one of the probably the best Death Valley drivers in the business he had at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah, he passed away sadly. Louis Piccoli was a great fucking guy. He died at 27 years old, I think.
Yeah.
He was 28 years old.
28, 27, somewhere around there.
He was a Cali guy, I believe.
Yes.
And he, like I said, he wrestled in Mexico. He was Rad Radford, if you remember that shit.
I was going to say Rad Radford.
Right. And, you know, he was, that was his gimmick. He only had, he only had like a 10-year career, too.
I loved this match. This
match is fun.
I loved this match. Spicoli coming out overconfident, pushing around Mikey Whipwreck, and then all of a sudden, Mikey gets a little hope. You know, Spicoli takes it away again. And, you know, starts coming out of the way, but then Mikey rolls out of the way, and then he throws these just wicked drop kicks on Louis Piccoli. And, you know, then out of nowhere, he kind of just hits him with it was all the top rope, right? The Frankenstein,
The
Franken Mikey, and just gets him for a quick win. And, you know, one thing about ECW, like you said, you know, yeah, garbage wrestling and all this stuff we were saying about FMW last week, you know, but old school guys were saying that about ECW. They told some great fucking stories inside the ring, and this was one of them, with the idea of getting Mikey Whipwreck over.
Yeah, what's cool about ECW is the mid-card matches, even if they didn't have a storyline behind them, were always good. Because they were building something else with these guys and put them up against somebody who was coming in. So this was happened to be Louis Piccoli coming in. He was a Raven guy.
Mm-hmm.
Part of Raven's flock.
Dressed like Tommy Dreamer, too.
Oh, yeah. I think that was done on purpose.
Yeah.
Get piss off Dreamer. But this was a good match. Another 6 minute, 7 minute match. Almost 7 minutes. 6:56.
The next match.
Now, we all know my love, my top five favorite wrestlers of all time.
I think I almost sold you with this. You were just like, because you're like, yo, what else is on the card? And I threw out Bam Bam versus Spike Dudley right away. You're like, all right, yeah.
Scott Charles Bam Bam Bigelow. The Beast from the East from Asbury Park, New Jersey. 367 pounds, one of the biggest athletic men on the planet. Of course, he fights little Spike Dudley, who's the runt of the litter of the Dudley boys. But Spike can go. Spike was the new Mikey Whipwreck.
Yes.
Ironically, he had a follow-up Mikey Whipwreck. But these two have history. Bam Bam, at one point, even on house shows, was throwing Spike into the third row of all their matches. So Spike was pissed off. And Spike Dudley kept fighting Bam Bam Bigelow until he beat him.
Mm-hmm. And
basically.
And it was like... This was a good match. Once again, I think this is where my nostalgia comes in, because Bam Bam 1 is just, I mean, you don't want to say underrated.
Well, Bam Bam's the muscle right now for the triple threat.
Yes.
Along with Chris Candido and the franchise
Shane
Douglas.
And the triple threat was
a full fight in a row.
Yeah, they were almost, you don't want to say that they were NWO. But they were super heels.
Yeah.
Like they weren't trying to take over, but they were beating everybody.
Can you name all the incarnations of the triple threat?
Ooh. Including WCW?
No.
Okay.
Just ECW.
Just ECW?
That don't count.
WCW. I count it.
Triad.
It's got Bam Bam.
No. ECW.
All the incarnations. No, I can't. I was just gonna say Candido, Bam Bam. And
Shane Douglas. Chris Benoit, Dean Malenko.
Don't remember
that. That was the original triple threat. Brian Lee was in the triple threat for a little while.
Oh, shit.
Fake Undertaker. And
Fake Undertaker
and Lance Storm.
Oh, Lance Storm I didn't know, actually.
Who's
fighting.
In this card. He's new. But, yeah. So, like I said, Spike, this was a story. Spike would not stop fighting Bam Bam until he beat him.
And even with, he hit him with the nut shot. That's what, you know, and then he hit him with the victory roll, which was, you know, almost Bret Hart, you know, reminiscent.
Yeah.
And, you know, but it was, it was good. Like you said, on paper, Spike Dudley matched up with Bam Bam. Doesn't work, but they made it work. Bam Bam can make that work. He always shined very well in those types of matches, especially, like you said, likes against Bret Hart, you know, Taz. Like, he was always good to work with guys that was smaller than him. This next match is fucking... I love this next match. I love Candido.
Yeah. So
no gimmicks needed.
No gimmicks needed at all. Chris Candido in the best shape of his life, by the way, fighting the rookie, Chris Chetty. So the story behind Chris Chetty is he's, in real life, Taz's cousin.
Yep.
And one of four people who graduated from the House of Hardcore.
Yes.
Right. So it was him...
I remember he was the only one that graduated.
No, Danny Doring, Roadkill.
Yes, Roadkill.
Him, and I want to say somebody else. But it took, you know, Perry Saturn to stretch him out.
Yeah.
So I think it was the only three or four guys that graduated from Taz's dojo. Chris Chetty was the rookie. Chris Chetty was just coming out. And just every match went almost between 6 and 7 minutes till now. Mm-hmm. This match went almost 11 minutes, Jay.
Yes. And like you said, Candido, old school style, you know, from the Northeast, but wrestled like from the South. That cartoon, you know, heel type thing. I always loved it. I always loved it. And Chetty was good. I mean, for what he was, you know.
He was fresh out of school, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, the rookie, baby face.
Yep, 100%.
I loved him with Nova, even though Nova's a douche.
Nova. When Chetty had the boa and the fucking...
Yeah.
And the Disco Inferno gimmick, kind of, sort of.
I loved it.
He actually... You know what his music was?
No.
Perry Mason by Ozzy.
Oh, get it? Yeah. I definitely didn't know that.
Yeah.
But they... But yeah, like you said, you know, Candido at the end, you know, stops him and he brings him down with a superplex. And then... what did he hit him with a power bomb? And then he was making fun of Taz, and then he did the underhook suplex. Is it the underhook? What's it called?
The fisherman suplex.
The fisherman suplex.
Yeah,
I was gonna call it perfectplex too, but
same thing.
Yeah, same thing. But Candido getting how many matches can we honestly say we've seen Chris Candido win? That was the first thing I thought of. You know what I mean? Like the only one I can really like think of is like when he fought Lance Storm, but like, you know, Candido cheated. I think that was when Sonny came out or something like that.
Yeah, it was some.
But I remember like saying it was like Chris Candido with the win. I'm like, oh, how many times have I ever said that?
Yeah, I don't. It was. I think that was done by design though, because he was so good.
Yeah,
he won a lot of tag team matches though.
Yeah,
more than singles matches. So, So your next match is for the ECW Television Championship. Taz is my favorite ECW performer of all time. This is, you know, you could look at the picture to the left of Jay, and that tells you why. That's why Choppy bought that for me, because he knows I love Taz. Taz and I went to the same high school, 10 years apart.
Brother.
Born in Brooklyn, raised in Queens. I'm going to choke you out, brother.
Yeah.
Anyway, still love Taz. Fighting Al Snow, who's a newcomer to ECW,
yeah.
Came and he was just coming off his new Rockers gimmick as Leaf Cassidy.
Yeah.
Al Snow, I mean, we didn't know much about him then, but we know a lot about him now. And Al Snow was one of the best underutilized performers in the game. Al Snow actually winds up getting title matches after this against Shane Douglas with the whole head thing. And I was at the arena when they threw the fucking styrofoam heads into the ring.
Yeah.
I was at that card when he fought Shane Douglas for the title. But now he's just, he cuts a promo. Fuck you guys. I'm not Leaf Cassidy and da 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 da. And
Shinobi.
Yeah. So now it's, guess what? He gets to fight the angriest man in professional wrestling.
Yeah.
The human suplex machine himself, Taz. And did not disappoint.
Yeah.
Did not disappoint. This match is really, really good.
And especially these two guys, you know, Al Snow, obviously we know about Taz's MMA, you know.
He is second dan in judo.
Yeah.
Empire State's champion.
But but Al Snow's no fucking slouch in and of himself.
Al Snow is running over Ohio Valley now.
Yeah, but he trained. I think didn't he walk out to the ring with Dan Severn in like the first UFC or some shit?
I think so. Yeah,
and he was he's no slouch with that either. But this was a great match. I really kind of, you know, this was done to get Taz over. Taz won in, you know, I don't want to say decisively, but it was great match. They had some great, you know, they had like a little, like, you know, wrestling around a little bit, almost like look like a shoot type stuff and amateur wrestling. I really enjoyed that. But, you know, Taz was, you know, he was booked as a monster, you know, regardless of his stature and all that stuff. Taz was fucking unbeatable. He made you
believe it. Of course.
You would listen to him cut a promo, and you would just like, that is the toughest son of a bitch I've ever seen.
And he would call everybody out.
Yeah.
No matter what promotion. Called out Flair, called out Hogan, called out Sting.
Called out Stone Austin.
Austin. He called out Sabu for a year.
Yeah. But, you know, but like I said, you know, Al Snow at the end, you know, he tries to suplex Taz, but when he gets up, you know, when Taz, not that he no-sold it, but like he gets up pretty quick, and then he just locks him in with the
Kata Hachime.
Yeah, I never say that word.
The Taz Mission. You can call it the Taz Mission. The Kata Hachime.
But, yeah. You know, the crowd was really into Taz. Like, there's just...
Oh, my God.
They were just really into him.
Even heel Taz, like,
yep.
he was, especially here in this. In
like the, I said, Taz, and for that matter, too, like, you know, it was decisively in his, but, you know, Taz sold more so than, you know, sometimes Taz really ever did, you know, in my opinion. But I loved it. I loved that match, you know, so.
Yeah. Your next match was a 6-man tag team match. And it was the Dudleys, Big Dick, yeah. D-Von, and Bubba Ray. And then Sign Guy with Joel, put your lipstick on my dipstick, Gertner, friend of the show. Joel's a great guy. We love Joel. We got to have him on the show. We keep saying that, but our schedule.
I would just love to have. I'd like because he's.
Yeah, he's. You know, he wants to come on the
he's
show.
He's a fascinating guy.
He's a really good guy. And against Axel Rotten, Balls Mahoney, and the Shah, Hack Myers.
Extreme Shah.
So a lot of dead people in this match.
Yeah.
The Big Dick is dead. Axel's. I think. Isn't Axel Rotten dead?
Axel Balls.
Axel Balls and Hack Myers have passed away. So this was a, you know, pretty bummed out. This was a wild. This went 12 minutes exactly. This was pretty wild.
Yeah, and like I said, this is kind of old school ECW. This is like what you would think of, you know, kind of craziness. There's no rules essentially. But I enjoyed it. I like you said, Big Dick Dudley. You know, he kind of lumbers around the ring a little bit. You know, but. I just love me some Dudley boys. I know you're not a huge fan of.
I'm not a big fan of Dudleys.
I love the Dudleys.
A lot of people do. I respect the accolades. I respect their work. I just, you know, D-Von's a nice guy in real life.
Yeah.
I just told you my love for Joel Gertner. Choppy and I have hung out with him a few times. He's just a good, you know, at the conventions and shit. Just not a fan of Bubba. Not a fan of it. And I love how when the Tommy Dreamer shit happened a couple of weeks ago, he stays fucking silent on Busted Open while the Greca just tears up Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah.
And like that, because that's his boy. And he agrees with Tommy Dreamer, but he wanted to keep his fucking job and say anything.
Well, the Greca's tearing him up in the sense of what he said, or?
Yeah.
I fucking hate that.
Yeah,
oh,
me too.
I fucking hate
me
that.
Me too. And
I'd love to hear what Tony Z has to say about that.
Yeah, they're all well. He's a, you know, Dave LaGreca is he's a part of the team. He's been on the Wizards a few times.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Oh, he's a great one.
We love Dave. Yeah, he's a great guy.
Great guy, but I mean, you know,
I know he listens to the podcast. So listens to all our podcasts.
At one point, do you and listen? I'm not trying to bury you or talk shit at all, but you know. Dreamer, you know, he said something. He apologized for it. I mean, obviously
it's the culture, Jay. It's like, yeah. You know, it's you know,
I just don't like that piling on, you know.
No,
I have to write it down.
Right. You got to pick your spots. I think just because he worked for them.
Yeah.
And I felt like Dave was almost obligated to say something. The problem was, though, this is where I wanted Bubba Ray to say, Bubba, whatever the fuck you want to call him, Mark LaMonica, whatever you want to say. This was the time I wanted him to say something that I agreed with him about. Cause I don't disagree with him all the time, just most of the time.
Yeah.
And I wanted him to fucking defend Dreamer, but he didn't, and it pissed me off because I knew he wanted to, and I knew he felt the same way. Because that's his boy, you know? But whatever, man.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But back to the match. I mean, listen, these guys, and this was like a little bit of a Donnybrook, a little Pier Sixer.
A little bit.
You know, and I enjoyed it. Dudley's get the win, you know. And, you know, you got to say, you know, obviously this is the generations talking, but. You know how the Doomsday Device was exactly that. The Dudley Death Drop was as effective as the Doomsday Device in the sense of you knew it was over. Like these guys protected that move. I hated when they went to the E and they kind of softened it a little bit. In ECW, it was a fucking neck breaker. If they hit that move on you, you were breaking.
It was
necks.
Like Demolition's finisher too.
Yeah.
You know, Smash fucking put the guy over, Axe put the guy over his fucking
knee. Yeah.
And Smash came off the second turnbuckle with the elbow.
You know, but this was, you know, I love them. Like I said, once again, that's where my mind goes with ECW. That Pier 6 fucking brawl type stuff, you know, to quote the great Gorilla Monsoon. So, I loved it. Like I said, anytime, especially Balls Mahoney, I think he doesn't get enough credit sometimes. He was real when he was in his prime. He was really good. Like, he was very entertaining. The crowd was always into him. You knew, you know, obviously knowing now what we know about fucking concussions, maybe we would dial back a little bit, but this was the culture. That was the culture of the time, you know. And it's chairs were swinging and all that stuff. So next match, I think, because I got my matches are out of order.
No, you got them.
The next match was Rob Van Dam
versus Tommy Dreamer.
Okay, yeah, maybe not.
Who stops Rob Van Dam at this point? Tommy Dreamer was a stepping stone to everybody in ECW.
Yeah,
and on purpose. Come to find out, that's what the way Tommy wanted it to be.
Yeah,
they wanted to book him as a champion. Tommy's like, no, I'll put this guy over. And Tommy built a career on putting guys over. You know, especially Raven. Raven beat him for 3 years.
Yep, loved it. Yeah, but it's easy storytelling. The babyface should always chase because what happens when you get there?
And this being no different, Rob Van Dam has aligned himself with Sabu at this point, and of course the great Bill Alfonso.
Yes,
who cuts it right down the middle.
Yep.
So Van Dam is probably the best wrestler on their roster right now. In terms of skill, in terms
absolutely
of, right, if that's safe to say,
yeah,
it's outside of Taz. Like talk about like most athletic. I mean, Taz is probably the best technical wrestler. Van Dam is probably the best all around athlete,
he's probably not even untapped the other 40%.
This is a year before
that
his,
he gets.
This is the year before his monumental television championship
he's,
run.
He's head in head, like you know he's level. With everybody else in the organization, it's not until the following year where he goes head and shoulders above everybody else.
Right. This match went almost 10 minutes. It was, you know, and of course the beautiful Beulah McGillicuddy at ringside,
gorgeous.
Yeah,
which by the way, they're still married. I did check.
They are still married. I thought he had a girlfriend at one point. Maybe they were separated.
Maybe.
Because I know he mentioned. I know there's someone at one of the indie shows took a picture with them three and. I don't know. Anyway,
but you know, RVD, like you said, he's you know just tapping into it, and he could see it, and you know, he Alfonso first off always gets involved, but was this before or after they had the bloodbath with Beulah and
This was right around that time.
Yeah.
The match he had, you mean, with Fonzie?
Yeah, that saved his job, you know, that famous story.
Yep.
Buell
was like, I'm not a wrestler.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
And, you know, Dreamer with a frog splash of his own that, you know, looked nothing like it, but the crowd fucking went crazy.
They
for
loved
it.
Tommy Dreamer was a closet good wrestler.
Yep.
And when he came up, he had the look. You remember, they wanted to make him one of the American males.
Yeah. American males.
Turnbuckle time.
Yeah.
Turnbuckle time. Should I play it for a second?
Yeah.
Where is it? There it is.
Turnbuckle time.
Okay.
That's amazing.
Matt Squires.
But, yeah, so like I said, at the end, you know, Sabu runs down with a garbage can.
He's getting ready for his title match.
Yeah. He's getting ready for his barbed wire, no ropes barbed wire match.
This is Onita-ish.
And yeah. He, you know, but all of a sudden, he kicks the can into Tommy Dreamer's face, and Rob Van Dam with the win. You know, that's the one thing about ECW, you know, there's lackadaisical rules and, you know, interference, you know, weapons, whatever. But this was, once again, this was the time, and they had the old school matches and the old school wrestling matches, but they also had this stuff where the crowd, looking back on it now, there is no sustainability with this company. This, you know, it almost went like it was supposed to. Like it was supposed to come in and leave like it did. I always say this about, like, you know, Nirvana's the wrong example, but how people like hold Kurt Cobain, you know, as such like a revolutionary and a hero to, you know, in some ways. But if he didn't die the way he did, or he didn't die so young, like, would we be saying the same thing about him?
This is how I feel about Owen Hart.
Yeah.
Again, guy was good, very good. But when he dies, he's a god. And I'm like,
yeah.
I didn't see him like that in his prime. I didn't.
Yeah.
I saw him as a really good fucking wrestler. I saw him as an IC champion or a US champion.
Well, that's...
And he was a tag team champion. I didn't see him as a world champion. I'm sorry. Maybe in Calgary, you know, maybe in Stampede Wrestling if they revamped that.
Even I love this band, but like Leonard Skinner, for another example, like they hit it really big after they died. Like, you know, and how much
all
of that
the time.
Yeah,
Queen,
how much of that
Queen, same yeah, thing. Like Queen. A lot it happens in music all the fucking time. Like these guys, Jimi Hendrix. Hendrix had one album or two albums?
Hendrix had Are You Experienced? No, he had the Funky album at the end.
That was it.
I think it was like three or four albums. Somewhere give or take. Yeah.
But not, the catalog wasn't big. Janis too. The Doors, they were just getting big.
Yeah.
You know, all these guys, and they all died the same age, but, you know, Kurt Cobain, same thing.
But like you said, you know, to me, you know, and that's what, like, it's funny about this, you know, looking back on ECW, you just go, there's no way this would have lasted. It's great to see, and I remember being a kid watching it. This was the greatest thing ever. But then what? You know, where do you go? And that's, you know, the problem that they felt, you know, still love it, still have no bad things to say about ECW.
No.
So the triad, the triple threat comes down, Douglas, Bigelow, and Candido. And they try to destroy Dreamer, RVD, and Sabu, which, like you said, that was the thing what I was trying to say about, like, NWO. Like, obviously, RVD and Sabu were kind of heels. They were cool heels.
Right, but
heels.
The problem with Shane Douglas was he wants all the titles.
Yeah.
And these guys are getting title shots, and they're getting hype, and they're not. Shane Douglas always put himself in that situation.
And what's amazing is New Jack's music hits.
That's it.
And it's, you just know what you're in for it, and yeah, I love it.
That's it.
So, you know, they come down, and then the Eliminators come down to help out, and, you know.
My favorite ECW tag team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Eliminators.
Yep.
But.
Yep.
So then we go on to the whole match, the whole reason why we're here.
So Terry Funk had just defeated, he won the three-way dance at the Bailey Legal.
Yeah.
For the World Heavyweight Championship. He used to come out to Desperado, but he
yes.
was. And now it's 2 months later, and ECW is on a buzz, and he's defending the title against his nemesis, Sabu,
mm-hmm.
with Bill Alfonso. And, of course, this feud goes back to Japan in FMW, where Terry Funk fought them all. He fought Lita, he fought Sabu, fought Mick Foley, fought Mr. Gonske, all those cats. In a no-rope barbed wire match.
Yes.
And
did you notice right away they had a close-up of one of the guys in the ring, and you looked at the barbs. Holy shit. Like, once again, I am no barbed wire expert, but they looked fucking menacing. And then listening to Sabu talk about it, he says that they used the wrong barbed wire in the sense of that it was thicker.
Can I play you the videotape commercial?
Yes.
For this?
That's what I always remember watching ECW, was always watching it was the slow motion of Sabu going into the fucking barbed wire.
Well, I wasn't going to play it, but you mentioned the barbed wire.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to play this one. Listen to this.
Yes. So, and no truer words were said, because it really was gruesome. There was one part in the match that, they play it like a real match. You know, they're faking going into it. They're going to throw me in. Oh, thank God you didn't get me in. And then finally Sabu's the first one to go in. Excuse me. And he blades, he blades pretty hard. And I can't tell if he's using... using a razor blade or if he's using the barb from the barbed wire, but there was one part where they Terry Funk throws Sabu into the barbed wire on the left side.
Yeah, that's what the commercial showed.
And it's his arm gets stuck.
Yes.
And I remember, like, my mother's friend, she just passed away recently. God, rest her soul. I remember she used to, give me shit about wrestling all the time, too. But, just saying, it's fake, blah,
blah, blah.
No,
it's fake, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Shut up.
And I remember, having this video and going, explain this. And you could see, this is before he gigs his whole fucking arm on his bicep. He goes into the, and then when he goes forward, on the reverberation, I don't know how else you want to fucking call it. You could see his bicep being pulled by the barb. So it was almost like they went in and turned sideways.
Yeah.
And fucking just like the idea that these guys would do this is one thing. Like, we were talking about it last week with Onita and FMW. This is clearly where they got it from. It was amazing to think that Terry Funk, one, is 53 or 54.
I'm just an old man.
Sabu.
Middle-aged and crazy.
Sabu, just unbelievable. Like, Sabu, to me, is arguably the most underutilized, underrated performer we've ever seen.
Sabu was never one of my favorites, right? The only problem I had with Sabu was that I felt he tried too hard. Like, he threw you an Arabian face masher with the chair. I get it. Okay. Do you need three of them? No. He would set a table up. If the table wasn't gimmicked, he would try to put you through until it broke.
Yeah.
Like, it was just overselling it, like, but when you watch him in your light, in that light, I should say, because you're not the only one who feels that way. When you watch him the way you're describing it, it was like an enigma, you know, and Paulie knew it. Paulie had that. And so at one point he had called Blanche, and he really wasn't a good person, a good employee.
Yes.
You know? And the problem was Paulie made it public.
Yeah.
So when Paulie went public with it, it kind of turned the fans a little bit. Like, all right, he went to Japan instead? Fuck him.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to show up? Fuck him. He went to Raw? Fuck him.
Yeah.
Went W? Fuck him. Right? He's doing indie shows and not showing up? Like, yeah. He would tell him, I can't make it, but he's doing indie shows? Fuck him. The problem was that if I didn't get that bad taste in my mouth, maybe I would still think of him like that. But I felt there were at times where he was brilliant. This, the shit with Taz.
Yeah.
Some of his stuff with Sandman. Anything with Mick Foley.
Yeah.
Right? That's your boy. And I'm like, I get it. So when you say that, I totally get it.
It speaks to, and you see him in, I actually, it's funny because I even thought of it today. I was listening, I just wanted to listen to his commentary about the match, and he doesn't really, you know, explain it too much. He talked about it. He goes, we didn't really talk about anything. He says, we just went out there and, you know, they talk about the spot where, you know, he slices his fucking bicep open where...
That he super glues, by the way.
In the back, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it took 150 stitches, and then he said 50 of them popped out, so he just fucking super glued it anyway.
Right.
But
that's a shoot, by the way.
Think about how this is happening. He's yelling to the ref, something's wrong. The ref tells Funk, and he's yelling at Fonz. Sabu's yelling at Fonzie to get some athletic tape because Sabu is going, I'm going to finish this match, and proceeds to tape it. And in the most fucking Rambo gangster way, he doesn't have Fonzie hold the tape. He fucking holds his chin down there, and he holds the tape himself. And so Funk is doing the right thing. Give him a little bit of time, but he's not making it hokey. Like, it's not like Owen Hart in 97 where Funk's
this
like...
This is ECW. You can't fool the fucking fans. Funk's the fans, like, will call you out.
Funk's like, hey, listen, I gave you enough time. Watch the neck breaker. Here it comes.
Yeah. Because Terry Funk was invested.
Yeah.
He was invested.
Yeah. And it was... To see that, and to see that dedication to... It doesn't matter what it is. Just any craft is... It's inspiring. If you really look at it wholeheartedly, like, granted, you know, certain people, certain fans would be like, oh, he did that for fucking $200 and a hot dog. You know, it's like, okay. But we're talking about it now 25 years later, and it's the that is not lost on me, like that dedication. And that's what I took from it. And, you know, right there and then the match kind of goes off a cliff a little bit.
A little bit, to the point where I'm sorry, guys, finish point.
No. And it was like, you know, I wonder if somebody called the fucking, you know, audible, in the sense of, it's like, all right, you know, maybe Sabu's hurt. Let's get him in the back, you know. And to Fonzie's credit, I don't know what was supposed to happen, but Fonzie's buying Sabu time, which instantly I thought of Terry Funk in 98 with Foley in Hell in a Cell, where Terry Funk instantly jumped into the ring, was like, I got to give him time. I wonder, you know, if Funk yelled at Fonzie, was like, yo, get in here, because, he, you know, Terry Funk wraps the barbed wire around his hand and, man, just fucking gouges Fonzie in the back. And, dude, like, Bill Alfonso's another one where it's like, wow, that's for him... That's dedication. That's unbelievable dedication.
Yeah, he dedicated the craft to his guys. He was a good manager. But my whole takeaway from this, I mean, obviously he wins the title,
which wasn't supposed to happen,
right?
So, according to Sabu, Funk was supposed to win, but so towards the end, Rob Van Dam comes out. They wrap Funk and barbed wire, put him on the table. Sabu jumps off the ring. Now there's no ropes. Sabu jumps off the apron, hits him with a leg drop. Dreamer comes out, hits Rob Van Dam with a horrible looking DDT on the floor. Carries RVD to the back. They get Terry Funk back up on another table. Now Sabu wraps himself in barbed wire. And this is where the fucking craziness happens. He jumps onto him again, goes through the table. Somehow or another, I was trying to find it, how the barbed wire from Funk that was wrapped around him and the barbed wire wrapped around Sabu, it gets knotted up. Now these guys are just fucking tied together with barbs. Like, it's fucking brutal.
My takeaway from that was his ring gear.
Well, at first you could see Sabu ripping at it. And that's one thing about Sabu. He would oversell to the point of, wow, did he really just get hurt? Like, he was that good. So I think he was trying to rip it anyway.
But even if he didn't rip it, that was going to happen.
Yes.
So, again, he didn't need to do it. That's my point. You see my point? So
he went over.
But I could just, at the end of the match, I'm looking at the fucking gear, and I'm like, that's just insane. Because now you're more exposed to this barbed wire. Yeah. You know, that's not gimmick. That's real barbed wire.
And the Funker is, you know, he's got his shirt is all ripped. It's all torn up. And
that's old hat to him, though.
And they're tied together. So they somehow, Fonzie helps them both into the ring. They lumber into the ring, and Sabu goes for a cover. Terry Funk kicks out. Terry Funk is punching. It's an amazing sight to see. Terry Funk is punching Sabu, and all of a sudden so the way Sabu tells it is he's trying to roll Funk over, but it's hurting Funk too much. Where Funk's just going, fucking pin me,
right?
Get me out of here,
right, right, right.
And that's how Sabu won the world title. And just the sight of they're all tied together, intertwined in the barbed wire. It's remarkable. I mean, that's the only way to kind of put it is, you know, we all have jobs. Like, I don't know if I have that kind of dedication to my job.
There's different kinds of dedication.
And like you said, the art of it, when pro wrestling is done right, it's the most beautiful thing in the world. And this was, it was so bad, it was good. Because it's a spectacle. It's what Foley and Undertaker pulled off the following year.
Yeah.
That mastery of you're really blurring the lines. This was just a very, I don't want to say watered down, but a very poorly put together version of that.
So I'll end it with this, because that was very good, very well said, because it was so bad it was good. If it was anybody else and not Funk and Sabu, are you saying the same thing?
Absolutely not.
Let's say it all went down the same way. The tangled up, the fucking, the gimmicks.
I don't think so. I think that adds to the magic.
I agree.
The idea of Terry Funk being that age, Sabu, arguably in his prime. You know, he had a lot of years. Obviously, I think he's still wrestling to this day.
Yeah, barely.
But I think, you know, at his most popular, for sure, Sabu.
Yeah.
He is it the same? No. Because I think it's the idea of what Heyman's always said. He's always said that about Terry Funk. Terry Funk was the idea behind ECW, the hardcore style.
Of course.
Not the weapons, but the mentality, the showing
dedication.
Up, the dedication. Yeah. That in it, and maybe using that backstory is probably painting that picture for me. But yeah, I love this match. for its brutality, for the spectacle, for the story. And like I said, I didn't know that about Funk was supposed to go over. He was going to lose the belt anyway. The following month in the three-way, it was actually Sabu, Shane Douglas, and Funk, I think at Hardcore Heaven, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, just, but, you know, Terry Funk, Sabu came out with a book, I believe, last year. And it made me, it's like, man, you know what? I think I'm going to go down a Sabu hole, you know, and because seeing that was just, I was just amazed.
He never talked.
Now he cursed like a motherfucker.
Now he won't shut the fuck up.
Fucking Fozzy!
Yeah.
Fozzy!
Yeah.
He's fucking yelling for him. But, yeah, never cut a promo. It's a most genius fucking, you know, character.
There you have it. Yeah. Born to be Wired. ECW.
Go out of your way.
Yeah, no, it's out there. We'll post it on the interwebs tomorrow. Anything else?
Nah, that's it, pal.
Let's get the hell out of here then. So next week we have the conclusion of the Blood and Guts Tour 2021.
Yeah.
With Jay's birthday spooktacular.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. It's Halloween Havoc, whatever one we're choosing. I don't know. I have to ask them in post production.
Yeah.
But you guys all know the social media handles. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks. Buy a shirt. Be a mark. Enjoy wrestling. Enjoy your lives. If your parents are still alive, give them a hug and a kiss. Tell them you love them. Don't be a jerk off. Don't get arrested. Don't get the clap. All right? And brush your teeth. Take care. Comb your hair. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.